Oh, come on now. Do you really, really believe that? Where there's no more pain, where there's no more sickness or sorrow, where there's no more death, no more night. Somebody ought to rejoice over that. Amen. Where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's let our guests know that we love them. Let's welcome them today. We're honored by your presence. Thank you so much for coming. I will direct your attention this morning to the book of Acts. When you have located the book of Acts, just go ahead and say amen. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, what we will look at today for our text verse. Acts chapter 6, verses 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost." Everybody say, full of the Holy Ghost. "And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Syrians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. If you would, please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God for revelation and understanding. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. Lord, in one mind and one accord for one purpose. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to assemble in your spirit, to assemble to hear your word and receive your message. Lord, I pray now over every mind, over every heart, every life in this place, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would direct us, that you would show us the way. Lord, I pray that you would lead me this morning. Lord, direct me to teach this lesson under the anointing of the Lord. I bind every strategy and tactic of hell, every strategic maneuver of the enemy. We bind that and cast it out of this building. And I release the free work of the Holy Ghost, the liberty and the power, the demonstration of your Spirit to move among us today, healing hearts, saving souls, instructing us and teaching us in the wisdom of the Most High God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you clap your hands under the Lord one more time? Would you lift him up all over this sanctuary? Amen. You may be seated. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 reiterated once more. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because, everybody say because. Because their widows were neglected in the day, in the daily ministration. The Pentecostal revival was possible only because followers were willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice is one of the main intricate pieces that will bring revival. We will not have revival unless we are willing to sacrifice for revival. Now, is the church suffering more persecution today than it did in the first few centuries of its existence? On the surface, people might say, well, no, I don't think so. But if you actually put a pencil to it, you might begin to think otherwise. Was there more persecution of believers following the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s than presently? These are difficult questions to know exactly, to understand clearly. There has always been opposition to righteousness, for Satan is the architect of opposition and division in the house of God. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, Satan immediately launched an offensive line to destroy the church. The book of Acts records many of those persecutions, although the Roman Empire continued the persecution of Christians until the 4th century. It is estimated that worldwide more Christians have been martyred in the last 50 years than in the church's first 300. Now, with this statement said, and history to pretty much back it up, I want to reveal something to the church today. Now, you may not like it when I say this, but it happens to all of us. And we will always be victims of this unless we are prayerful people and we are mindful of what God is doing in the last days. Now, according to the records, more people has been killed because of the name of Jesus in the last 50 years than in the first 300 years of the church. Now, that's staggering. But what has happened is that we have been desensitized. We have been desensitized. We read it in the newspaper, then we turn the page. We'll see it in media of some form, and then we'll click again. We never have a calculation, actually, and a flowing comprehension that reveals an actual tally of what's going on. We just change the page. We just click it. We just move on. And until the point that these tragedies are no longer frontline news anymore. If you get a newspaper, if you're in a mainline city where the newspaper comes in every day, earthquakes are not on the front page anymore. They're about the third page back. They're not big news anymore. And so the signs that point to the end time are falling further and further from the front lines of information. The enemy is allowing a darkness to fall over the minds of the people. The minds are being blinded because of darkness. the carnality of every person, the carnality that we live in, the sin, the culture, the iniquity that we deal with every day, and all of the things that estrange us from the fervency and the intimacy of the Holy Ghost, these things shove us to a place where it can happen in front of our eyes. The things that are pointing us toward the end time, and we don't even calculate it. It doesn't even register. It's just another day with the things that happen in our day and time. We are on the verge of the coming of the Lord, and we don't even realize that our day is the wicked day that God explained. People heap to themselves with itching ears false teachers to tell them something other than the truth in our day and time. They get offended when a minister does preach doctrine. They protest. But yet, they don't see how they are the people that are spoken of in the Word of God. Today, we must realize that we are real, live, living people. And we are the people that God was speaking of and the Word of God speaks of when it mentions the last day. Now, who will we be? Will we be the people who are trying to quench revival? Who are trying to break the unity of the church? Who's trying to destroy the momentum of soul saving? Who is it will we be? What part of this great production will we play? What character on the stage of life will we be? It's like a huge production. But this is a real life production. It's not characters play acting. This is real. This is for keeps. What part will we play? Some people like to say, well, I was just born to do this and I can't change it. That's a lie from hell. Because Jesus Christ died to save every person. Every person was a sinner and they're on their way to hell. Every person was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every person. But because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, because of his love for mankind, he stepped in and intervened. And he said, I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. With a generation that was all sinners and every one of them headed for a burning lake of fire, Jesus stepped in and said, I know you were born this way. I know you were shaping in sin, but I also know you don't have to die lost. Could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So today we need to realize that we don't have to play the part of the devil. We don't have to be the devil's advocate. We don't have to be a source of division or strife. We don't have to be the murmurer and the complainer. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is here to save us and to deliver us from all of these old things. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to take the blood of the Lamb, apply it to the doorpost of our heart? Are we going to receive this redeeming power of the Holy Ghost? Are we going to allow the mercy and the grace and the transforming power of God to change us from a character of darkness to a person filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost? What are we going to do in this last day? Who are we going to be? The master of the production is not going to just point at you and say, no, you've got to be the evil one. No, that's not the way that is. If you want to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you can be born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you want to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you can be redeemed today by the blood of the Lamb. You can be on the stage as a person letting the light of Jesus Christ shine forth in this world today. But it's up to you. Who are you going to be? Now, the title of our lesson today is simply, it's on the screen, it's simply Paying the Price for Revival. Now, everybody that wants something, they'll go to the store and look at it. They'll take that little tag and oh, my goodness. Let's go somewhere else. We're going to check this out. Well, you get to that next door. And what happens when you flip that tag around? You ever notice how most tags aren't facing you? I already know I don't need to turn it around. If it's not facing me, they've done that because they don't want me to see it right off. You reach and get it. When you flip it around, suddenly you realize you've wasted time, money, and gasoline because they're worse off in the other store. So you go home and you think about it. You do without it. You kick it around and you look and you look and you sit on the internet and you spend another hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, no telling what. Then you consider less quality. Different manufacturer. Be careful now, I'm easing in, I'm sneaking in. Your Band-Aids on. You know, the price tag can cause you to begin to consider other angles. So you'll really think about it. Doing your homework. That's okay. That's good. I appreciate that. Do your homework. Your money wisely. But eventually, if you want quality, if you want something that's going to give you very good service, if you want something that's going to serve you well and be dependable, you're going to have to eventually go ahead and flip that price tag over, accept the music, accept the truth, and pay the price. That's just the way it is. Life's set up that way. But God didn't change it either. If you want real salvation that's going to wash your sins away, if you want real redeeming power, if you want the righteousness of Christ, if you want holiness that's going to cause you to be raptured out of this place into heaven, if you want the real deal that's going to give you the power of God unto salvation, if you really want that, then it does come with a price. Somebody might say, well, I thought Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for it to exist. He paid the price so that we could have something that we never could have on our own. But then a certain type of price tag comes when we begin to step in. Now, if you consider it long and you consider it with a genuine heart, you'll begin to realize that it's really no price at all. But your carnal man will not like it. Your flesh will not like it. Your flesh will look at the tag and say, come on, let's go home. Don't look at that anymore. Your flesh will come in here, hear the message, and the whole time saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's leave. Let's go somewhere else. Let's shop somewhere else. Maybe a different quality or a different manufacturing. A factor or maybe a different interpretation of satisfy us. But this morning I'm talking about something that will save you. Not everybody that says Lord, Lord is going to be saved. We've got to understand that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is what it's going to take to save us. And we're going to have to go ahead and pay the price. What is the price? The price of repentance. And repentance is repenting of our sin and acknowledging that our own behavior without God is not holy and is not right. So we have to repent of our sin and realize that that sin is what's causing the dilemmas of our life that we're currently living in. And that sin is not of God, and it is of the world. It is what we were born into, and it's what we were shapen by our life long. So we got to realize that in order to have a change of life, I've got to go ahead and pay that price, pull that sin, and separate myself from the old man and lay it down on that altar and say, I don't want any fellowship with it any longer. I want to repent of my sin. Repenting is going this direction, and you realize that you're not going with God. It's just a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. It's not really saving you. It's not healing you. It's not setting you apart from the world. You're just kind of fooling yourself. But one day you're going to say, I'm going to repent from this. And repentance is turning around, turning your back to it, and begin to walk toward the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's repenting. Anybody want to repent in this place this morning? Here I am, God. I've had enough of the world. I've had enough of myself. If you really want a change of life, you got to pay the price to get it. Repent of sin. Be buried in water in the name of Jesus. They said, Peter, what shall we do? In Acts 2:37. Then Peter, being personally briefed by Jesus Christ in Luke 24:49, he stood up when he was asked that question in Acts 2:37. And he quoted Jesus Christ, exactly what Jesus told him in Luke 24. Jesus answered them just the way Peter answered them just the way Jesus told him to. And in verse 38, he said, repent! Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. For what? The remission. That's the removal, the dismissal, the taking away of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we're going to have to pay a price. But what small price it is to separate yourself from the things that will destroy your soul. That's all you got to do. If you want revival, you got to pay the price. You got to do the things what's necessary to bring revival. If you want your car to run, you have to put gasoline in it and not water. You have to pay the price that will make that engine run. You have to pay the price that's going to make the heart of the church operate. Revival is the heart of the church. It's absolutely necessary for us to be about our Father's business. Now, in our text verses is a very sensitive subject that some people do not understand. Someone has said nothing worth having comes easy. Paul Harvey said it this way. Paul Harvey, the late news commentator, made popular the statement, there's no free lunch. So we got to, if we're going to feed on revival in 2016, we're going to have to do what it takes to produce it. So everything of value comes with a price, and revival is no exception. Although there are times when God showers the church with special blessings that seems to come as a result of no unified effort or plan, revival usually is a result of concerted prayer, fasting, and consecration. This trio of effort represents sacrifice. God rewards those who seek Him. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, everybody say if. There it is. He says, if my people, which are called by my name. There's your next very important point. Shall humble themselves. There's the third very important point. And pray. number 4. And seek my face, number 5. And turn. Everybody say turn. Turn from their wicked ways. Wow. Okay? If we want revival, right here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've got to get beyond the if. How many of us want to go beyond the if? I don't know about you, but I really do want to go beyond the if here in this verse today. I want to go beyond that. I don't want to be one of the ones that are considered maybes. I want to be one of the ones that the Lord can count on matter-of-factly and know for sure that I'm going to get up in the morning with a made-up mind that I want to try to reach the world or reach somebody. I'm going to try to pray. I'm going to try to seek the Lord and live for God. Let's go beyond the if right now in Jesus' name. If my people, which are called by my name, that's a very important thing. We've got to be called by the name of Jesus. Everybody who is born again of the water and of the Spirit, who is baptized into the name of Jesus for remission of sin, your last name is Jesus. That's kind of weak right now. You didn't know that, did you? Do I need to say that again? When we're baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, you take on a brand new family name. That's right. You get a brand new family name. Now, so the people which are called by the name of Jesus, if they'll humble themselves, okay? If they'll pray and seek His face, if they'll turn from their wickedness. Now there again, we don't get to decide what wickedness is. God decides what wickedness is. So don't look around at yourself and say, my, I'm a good person. We'll just start condoning everything. Well, my mama did it. My grandpa did it. That won't get you anywhere with God. This right here is what decides whether we do it or not. You read this, you might find out that people that you once looked up to aren't doing so well. So be careful who you follow. Very careful who you allow to influence you. You read this word. Align yourself with this truth. It's because they've got the standards, the outward garment down, and the hairdos really good. Doesn't mean one thing. They got to have the fruit of righteousness in their life. Could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways to God's holy ways, if I could paraphrase. Then, everybody say then. You want revival? You want a change in your life? You want something to turn around? Then, He's going to hear from you. He's going to hear from the all of the mercies of God. All of a sudden, there's going to be a huge a culmination of the attributes and the willingness and the mercy and everything that makes God. And that there's going to be a releasing of the supernatural into your life, and He's going to forgive. And He's going to forgive you of sin and me of sin. If we'll turn from our wicked ways and be called by His name, then He's going to forgive us, and then He's going to heal. That's what brings healing. If you really, that's why He walked up a lot of times in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and said, your sins be forgiven. He couldn't heal them until He forgave them. A lot of people want to be healed, but they don't want to be forgiven. We okay? Bring my blood pressure cups to check you out this morning. Some people want to go ahead with their little old lives of iniquity, but yet they want to live in the blessings and the supernatural of God. They don't work that way. So we're left with a hollow religion. Just have a formality of religiousness, but we don't really have the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we often hear great reports of revival without hearing just how the revival came about. When we hear of a 100-soul revival, we usually do not hear about the price that was paid for the revival. We do not hear about how many doors were knocked, how many people were contacted, how many meals were fasted, and how many hours were spent in prayer. We don't hear those things. We just hear the results and assume that God just hadn't chose to give it to us yet. He'll give it to anybody that pays the price for it. I said he'll give it to anybody that'll pay the price for it. Now, I don't want to continue to slow this message down, but something come to mind at POA, Pentecostals of Alexandria, where I attended for many, many years and worked out of as a minister. The church was so honed there, the body of Christians there were so honed in truth and in the word that it was just like a very healthy mom and dad there. And it was just like a very healthy mom and dad. A mom and dad who are very, very healthy can just get down on the calendar and pretty much say, we're going to save our money. And then right here, we're going to have a baby. Okay? It's just about like that for some of the people that are extremely healthy and their DNA and the genetics flow very well. Okay? Now, when we get in the supernatural, when we get in the Holy Ghost, when we're praying and fasting and we're well-honed church and we're leaving the carnality and the confusion and all the backbiting and all the divisions and the gossiping, and when we're shedding that and getting rid of that and coming into the Spirit of God, then we are well-honed body. And we could literally, at POA, literally, say we're going to have 100-soul revival in the month of June. People say, now how can you say something like that? Well, when you get a group of people that know exactly how to have revival together, we could even tell you the day that it would happen on, and God would give us 100-soul revival. I baptized so many people until my body ached. Okay? But we need a body of people who are actually called by the name of Jesus Christ and who are actually functioning in the supernatural. Okay? When we get to that, we go from just a collective group of people that call themselves a church to actually a church of Jesus Christ who can produce souls just about on demand. Okay? Now, we need to realize that when we are not in that element, we're not in that realm of revival. It costs to get there. It costs to get there. You'll have to change who you are. You have to, the sloppy Christianity that we've adopted as something that that's just the way I do it, that's not going to produce the fire. Okay? The carnal Christianity, that's an oxymoron, it don't actually exist. But people call it, you know, this is the way we do it. This is the way grandma did it. This is the way Aunt so-and-so or somebody does it, and they've always did it that way. Well, we're going to get what they got. Okay? Now, we've got to realize that if we want to get what the first church got, if we want to get the supernatural and the revival and the power of God, there is a price to be paid. Brother Larson, how many of you know Brother Larson? Okay? The missionary. Anybody know Brother Larson, the missionary to Colombia? Way back there, Brother Larson and his wife went to Colombia. But they went there to pay a price. They went there to be the acorn that falls from the oak. They dissolved into the interior of a very wicked place. many, many decades. They dropped out of sight. They dropped off the radar. They fell into that place. She died due to sickness and disease. He preached his own wife's funeral. There was nobody to attend. He put her in a box, and he carried her body in a box, dug a hole. He did the graveside, and he put her in it. He covered her up, preaching again. Today, Columbia has a great church. But nobody's seen the acorn fell from the oak. Nobody was there when it dissolved into the interior. Nobody's seen that. But he gave his heart. He gave his ministry. He gave his family to that thing. What a price. But today, there are, it's not thousands. It's not tens of thousands. Not 100,000. It's literally billions who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Columbia. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? We've got to understand that revival comes with a price. And we all know that the story about the disciples and how they were martyred and killed and gave their life. We all know the story about Stephen, how he preached and in the face of people who could not stand the gospel, and they killed him. The church is persecuted on several angles. Now, one of the first verses that we brought up in our text today is about the confusion that happened right after revival. Now, the enemy will do whatever he can to unleash a destruction upon the church. The church was in great revival. They were enjoying a mighty time in the Spirit of God. Now, as the number of believers increased, some of the Grecians, the Hellenized Jews, began to complain that their widows were being neglected. And so persecution from the inside of the church, carnal minds, people who claiming to have the Holy Ghost, but they're not really Christian. And they sowed discord in the fellowship and in the fabric of the church. And it began to hinder revival. It began to take the focus off of what God called the church to do, and because the body to look at the interior or begin to, instead of being extroverted, it become inverted. And it became an element that existed in the world, but it became no effect. That's what the devil loves. And he uses the carnal minds of people who do not know what church really is supposed to be. They think they know. They think they understand, but they don't really know. The church is about saving the lost. The church is about reaching the lost. Now, I know I'm on a very sensitive subject, but if I ever not preach scriptures and not preach truth, that I am deliberately dodging the word of God. And Proverbs 30:6 tells us if we do that, we're in trouble with God. Revelations tells us the same thing. If we take away or add to, he's going to take away our part of that city. Now, so I have to visit every verse and teach you every verse. Now, this is why The deacons were selected, because these Hellenized Jews, these Grecians, who are not truly converted to the spirit and the call of the church. You see, a lot of people like the idea of going to church and telling themselves that they're saved, okay? To quench the conviction, to callous over the conviction. But yet they don't ever come to the place where they're converted. Jesus told Peter that when you're converted, he said, Peter, when you are converted, you're going to strengthen brethren. You see, people who are converted strengthen the church. They don't weaken it. People who are converted to the call of God are strengthening the church, not tearing it down. People who are converted to the truth of Jesus Christ are people that are lifting up and building up the church, not going around and spreading all kinds of things about the church on a negative. These people that do that are not converted to the truth. Okay? They are not converted. Now, we've got to realize, what character are we going to be on the stage? We're on the stage. Now, who are you going to be? Are you going to be one of the ones that's going to cause the church to be strong in revival? Or are you going to be one of the ones that will cause the church to be weak, not in revival? Now, who will be? Would you ask that question this morning to yourself? Who am I? Who am I? In order to answer that, look back at your fruit. You see, some people run an abortion clinic in the church. Church tries to win souls. They got new converts, and here they come. They'll poison those new converts. The new converts lose faith, and they go out in the world. So these people are abortionists. I didn't bring my ear ticklers this morning. So, I'm not here to offend you either, but I am here to let you realize that it's God's decision of what's right and wrong, not ours. And God has laid down the price of what revival costs. And if we want that revival, we can have it. All we have to do is pay the price. There was a very, very wealthy man, and I'm hurrying. There was a very, very wealthy man in our city, and he decided to retire. His father-in-law, when he was just a young man, said to him, if you want to start a business, I'll help you. So the father-in-law gave this young man a dump truck, a bulldozer, and a heel of dirt. Just one little heel of dirt. Gave him an old beat-up dump truck that the boy literally hung a bucket under the engine to catch the oil so he could pour it back in the top. Or did. Now, he gave him a bulldozer that you had, it had two motors on it. You had to crank the pony engine. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? You had to crank the pony engine. Pow, 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 pow. Then when you get it running kind of right, you got to pull a lever, and it's going to start cranking that old big motor like. Now, that's what he had to start with. He became a multi-millionaire. Most of the bridges you've crossed between here and Texas is coming. Now, when we get a humble beginning, we can appreciate the blessing in a greater way. His son one day called me into his office and said, you'll never guess what my daddy did. I said, what'd he do, Brian? He said, this morning he met me at the gate and said, son, I'm done. Your mama and me, we're going to travel the world. He said, and I'm taking all the money of this company with me. He said, my daddy-in-law gave me a dozer, a dump truck, and a heel of dirt. He said, now I'm giving you more than a dump truck, more than a dozer, and more than a heel of dirt. You got all this equipment, but you don't have a dime for payroll come next week. He says, you're going to have to take your want to and make it. He says, would you please pray for me? I laid hands on that man right there at his desk, and we prayed. We called on God. Now, he said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, first thing you need to do is figure out if you're going in business or out of business. I said, you're going to pay the price for whatever decision you make. You're going to pay for it if you walk out of here and lock that gate. You're going to pay for it. I said, but if you decide to leave that gate open and leave these men working, you're going to pay for it. I said, which price do you want to pay and what product do you want to have in the end? He said, I want to make it. I said, you don't know how to make it like your daddy made it with all that lame, beat-up equipment. Because your daddy was raised in that. He knows how to do it. But you're going to have to do something that you don't have to work on so much. So we bought Aztec pavers, paving spreads, whole 9 yards. And the next 7 seconds, we spent 20. And the next 7 minutes, we spent $27 million. We went in business. He made a call. He paid the price. That's been 20 years ago. He's a multi. Owns 43 companies. With me this morning? Coming to a close. But what we've got to understand is we're going to pay a price one way or the other. I said we're going to pay a price one way or the other. But what do we want in the end? For the price we pay, what do we want? If we neglect this gospel, we can't be saved. If we neglect this this great message, if we neglect the power of God unto salvation, we can't be saved. If we neglect the truth, if we neglect from turning from the world, if we neglect His holiness, if we refuse to turn and see and turn from the world and refuse to seek Him, if we refuse to humble ourselves and pray, if we refuse to turn from our wicked ways, we're going to pay a price. But yet the product is going to be horrible. There's nobody wants to spend an eternity in a burning lake of fire. We got to have revival. We've got to have revival on a personal level, and we got to have revival on a collective level. Mount Pisgah, I love you. I appreciate you so much. I am thankful for you. You are wonderful people. But I've got to tell you the truth. I can't come over here and smooth it over, but I won't be a real preacher. That's false prophets' jobs. But people who are called by His name want to know the gospel of Jesus Christ because they are in love with the power and the name of the Most High God. And the only way that we're going to know Him in 2016 is by turning from our wicked ways under the truth of Jesus Christ, humbling ourselves and seeking His face in the power of the holiness, in the power of the supernatural, in the name of Jesus Christ. He's going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to hear. I said He's going to hear from heaven and rain down healing upon our church, upon our bodies. This morning as I close, it's time for a people to realize that the church was not freely given. Actually, our salvation was freely given. Jesus Christ spread His arms and gave His life for the church. But somebody that says, I want that, has to come out of the world, has to come out of carnality, has to come out of darkness, has to come out of this things of the enemy, and they have to come into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to take off everything that I brought with me from the world. I'm going to pay the price, whatever it takes. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to study. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be undefiled. I'm going to be unified with the body. These 7 men that were called deacons were full of the Holy Ghost. And they alleviated their pastor's struggles. And they went and they ministered to the body. Now there's a whole list of requirements to be a deacon. Scripturally, with the damage that sin has brought to the homes, very few that can qualify. But we can still be in love with the Master, and we can still long to be used, and we can still reach out to our widows, watch over them, look out. People who are struggling, do what you can. And allow the church to continue to focus and gear up for the revival that God wants to bring to this community. There's people that's got to be saved. There's people that God is expecting us to reach. And we can't reach it if we're focused inwardly all the time, trying to oil this squeaky hinge, trying to oil that squeaky hinge, trying to do this, trying to... I need a body of people that will minister one to another. I need a body of people that will reach across the aisle, put your arm around somebody, run and help them, take care of them. And we're going to keep focused in prayer, keep focused in fasting, keep focused in preparing, and keep focused in gearing up. If we'll become a body that's well oiled, we can just about predict when we will have revival. Who's on board? Who wants to have revival? Who wants to pay the price? Who wants to get involved? Who wants to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? This morning, as the altars are open and we all stand all over this place, we're in the end time. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The hour is late. It's just a matter of time when the trumpet sounds. Who are you going to be? There's going to be a light shine in this world, and every character on the stage is going to be identified. And those that are born again of the water and the Spirit, those that are about their Father's business, those that are creating revival are going to be caught away. There's many masks parade across a stage. Many masks. But none of them reveal the true person behind it. But Jesus Christ knows every heart. He knows every person. There's nothing hid. Saints of God, this is our lesson today. I did not choose it. It's what has come in our Sunday school book. But we've got to realize that revival comes with a price. And if we're going to have it, we've got to pay it. Your children need you to pay the price. Your coworkers need you to pay the price. Your neighbors need you to pay the price. There are people you face every day, and they need us to pay the price. Everybody I shake hands with, I look at them and I say, God, somehow, what kind of price is it going to take to win this man or this woman? I shake hands with children in our community and I think, what is it going to take? What kind of price is it going to take to win this child to the house of God, to the truth of Jesus Christ? Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, we need a people who's on fire for Jesus Christ. We need a people who will come out of this world and gather together in one mind and one accord for the purpose of revival. Who will it be? Who will it be? Who will it be? What shall we do, Peter? Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If there's somebody here today that has not received the Holy Ghost, you can be born again of the water and the Spirit today. You can be redeemed. You can be buried in water. The baptistry water is warm. You can come to an altar and repent of sin. The altar's open this morning. I wonder if we could invite our guests to come with us. Wonder if we could come. Could we invite the people that are around us? Could we step out into these altars and say, Lord, help me, whatever it takes, help me to bring revival to my home. Help me to bring revival to my church. Help me to bring revival to my community. Would you step out this morning? Would you join the effort of revival? Jesus is looking for a people who are willing to pay the price for revival. Will you be the one? Will you be in that number that's paying the price? Who will you be when Jesus returns? When your deeds are manifested to everyone and there are no secrets, what will it be revealed? What will be revealed? Hallelujah. The altars are open this morning. Would you come? This church loves you. We love our guests. We love every one of you. I preached the truth to you this morning. Thank you for coming. You can repent of your sin this morning. The blood of Jesus is here to wash your sins away. There is water that is warm. You can be baptized in Jesus' name for the removal, the remission of sin. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. The anointing of God. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, here I am, here I am. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Who will pay the price for revival in 2016? Who will pray? Who will fast? Who will call on God? Hallelujah. Who will be the hindrance to the revival? But who will be the reason for revival? Hallelujah. Who will pay the price? Who am I, Lord? Oh, would you prepare yourself to pay that price today? Pay that price. Pay that price. Pay that price. Pay that price. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. Oh, that's it. Let your tears flow. Let your heart break. Here I am, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just received word that they're taking Brother Ralph Baxter to the emergency room. So would we lift our hands and our hearts right now in prayer? Heavenly Father, you see this condition. We need you to intervene right now. God, we need you to intervene. God, I pray for mercy. I pray for mercy. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for mercy. Lord, we ask, Lord, that your mercy would flow upon his body right now. Lord, by your divine will, you have given us the stripes that we can use right now. And I pray, Lord, for by your stripes we were and are healed. Lord, bring forth a healing for his body. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Almighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All over this sanctuary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We have people in the altar this morning. I don't want to stop them from praying. Other people are needing to go, but if you're praying, pray. If you're praying, pray. Don't stop praying. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these wonderful people in the altar this morning. We thank you for people who will allow their hearts to be reached. We thank you for people who will allow your spirit to convict them. We thank you, God, for this beautiful congregation. Thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that we would come back tonight. Fill these prayer rooms at 5:30. Fill up these prayer rooms, I pray, that the men and women, the children, Lord, would be taught to pray by example. I pray that we would be at good examples of how to live for God. Lord, I pray that our people would eventually learn that church actually starts at 5:30 in the prayer room. Lord, I pray that we would come in this place ready for a mighty move of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the